All right. Well, good evening, everybody. I trust you're enjoying your Italian dinner. Coming from an Italian, I am looking forward to sharing that as soon as I get off this platform. I'm Dave Roselli, and I'm the Vice President of Advancement. We're thrilled that you're here, and we're excited to be in Corpus Christi. I want to recognize Ella Pritchard, our host tonight. Ella has been a strong advocate in bringing the team down to Corpus Christi, and we're thrilled that we're here. Ella, thank you. And as many... Well, we appreciate... Yeah, we certainly appreciate you nudging us and being an advocate for us coming down here. We're thrilled to be here, and thank you for everything that you and your family have done over the years for Baylor. You're a great ambassador. So tonight we're going to have a conversation. We are going to encourage you to participate. So any questions that come to mind as we are talking about what's happening at the university, there'll be an opportunity for you to ask those questions when we get towards the end of our program. But I want to take just a moment before we start to get us off to the evening with a prayer and a blessing, and then we'll get started. If you would join, bow your heads and join me in prayer. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for bringing us here safely. And thank you for this opportunity to share in a bond that we all share, whether we are parents or alums, friends, staff, faculty, the bond of being ambassadors for Baylor and to live our lives in a way that would honor you in carrying out the mission of this great institution. So thank you, Father, for that opportunity, and we are mindful that we are bonded together with that common purpose. We ask for a blessing over this meal tonight. We ask that you would nourish this food to our bodies. And we also pray that your Holy Spirit tonight would guide this conversation and that we would be led by your Spirit as we talk about the great things that are happening at the institution. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit's presence tonight. And we say these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I would like to give you a little update on the remarkable progress this year of our Give Light campaign. Before we get started with our conversation, our Give Light campaign is our $1.1 billion comprehensive campaign that we launched in November. So much has happened in the last 12 months that it seems like it has been several years, but really it's only been a little over 7 months since we launched in November. And on that 1st of November on campus, we celebrated the announcement of the Welcome Center, the Mark and Paula Heard Welcome Center, and that was the beginning of what was just an amazing momentum towards significant contributions from our Baylor family towards this campaign, which is going to touch every aspect of the campus. There will be an academic component, a facilities component, an endowment component. All of the academic units will be a part of it, whether you're in the sciences and arts and sciences to the arts. There will be a place for all of our academic units and for student life and for athletics. So we're excited about it. Just in the last couple of weeks, 2 weeks ago, in fact, we celebrated the announcement of a $15 million gift from the Sunderland Foundation that will propel the restoration of the Tidwell Bible Building. So that was very exciting for us to celebrate. And then, as you probably heard a week ago tonight, or a week ago last week, on this evening in Houston, we announced the largest current gift in the history of Baylor University, $100 million gift to the campus. And that's going to, you can applaud at that. That's really going to propel two main projects. One is an academic challenge, and this will allow us to bring in as many as 17 new faculty chairs at the $3 million level and greater. this family, which is going to remain anonymous for the time being, will come alongside a donor that's interested in $1.5 million gift and match that one for one to create a new chair. And so we think that we have the opportunity to generate as many as 17 new chairs with that gift. And just as context, to give you a sense of how transformative that is, we only have five chairs right now at Baylor that have that level of a corpus or greater at the $2.5 million and greater. We only have five chairs at that level, so we're going to add 17 to that total. So that will make a dramatic difference for us. Also, this gift will propel the design and hopefully soon the construction of the new basketball field house. So very exciting for the athletic community. It's certainly exciting for men's and women's basketball, but it also is a domino and will have a benefit for our women's volleyball program and our acrobatics and tumbling national champions because they'll have now designated space in the Farrell Center. The Farrell Center will remain, and then we'll build the field house just adjacent to the Farrell Center, and that'll be a smaller facility, somewhere in the neighborhood of 7,000 to 7,500. So, an amazing gift that is transformative for the campus. We are now approaching $700 million of our $1.1 billion goal as of tonight. So, things are going exceptionally well. But what I want you to know is that of all of the gifts that have come in, and there are 55,000 donors that have participated in this campaign, and that is very significant. And those gifts have come anywhere from $25 up to that $100 million gift. And we talk a lot about these transformative gifts that are eight figures and higher, but those $25 gifts count and matter. Every dollar counts, every dollar matters. And there's no way that we can achieve $1.1 billion without the entire Baylor family coming alongside us in whatever it is that's your interest and whatever it is that is in line with your capacity. So we do talk about those big gifts frequently because they are transformative, but it's those small gifts that make a difference in what we do on a day-to-day basis. So I want to thank you for what you've done and what you're considering doing for that Give Light campaign. And before we get started on our conversation, I want you to pay attention, if you would, to the video and to the monitor, and I want to give you a glimpse of the Give Light campaign.
All right, it's a great introduction. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our conversation series. Mrs. Pritchard, thank you so much for having us here to your beautiful city. Lovely to have the sunshine come out this evening. So I know you've had a lot of rain here the past couple of days, but lovely to see the sun come out and have all of you here today. My name is Lori Fogelman. I am so glad to be joined up here by Baylor President Linda Livingstone and also Chairman of the Board of Regents, Joel Allison. And this is our Baylor Conversation Series. It's an opportunity for us to talk about the state of the university, the challenges and opportunities ahead, and to have kind of a fireside conversation, although we really don't need to have the fireside. Although, Brad, I know you were talking about leaving Waco yesterday. It was 52 degrees on May 10th. So, but lovely to have the sunshine come back out here today. But not only will we have a brief conversation up here, but also an opportunity for y'all to ask questions as well. And we'll talk about that and how that will work just a little bit later. But our conversation series actually started in 2017. We've been in cities throughout Texas. We've also been in Colorado, California, Florida, Tennessee, Georgia, and also Washington, D.C., and delighted to make it down here to the Gulf Coast. We've had a great turnout, and so fun to see parents and prospective students and alumni all come together to help celebrate Baylor University and the excitement that's surrounding the Give Light campaign and also the Illuminate strategic plan. So I did want to let you know that we are recording tonight's conversation, and all of the conversations, this one included, are on the president's website at baylor.edu/president, And all you need to do is click on the conversation link to find the audio. But let's go ahead and begin our conversation tonight. And Dr. Livingstone, let's go ahead and get to the big news from just about a week ago tonight in Houston. You announced a $100 million donation to the university, a wonderful transformational gift. Walk us through that gift and how it really will transform and impact the educational experience at Baylor.
Well, thank you, Lori, and again, thank you all for being here. It's just such a pleasure to be with you, and we love getting around the state and around the country and seeing members of the Baylor family, so we're glad to be here tonight. Well, Dave called that gift transformational, and anytime a university gets a gift at that level, it has a dramatic impact on the university. And there are many universities that will never have a gift of that level. So we are certainly deeply honored and humbled by the family that was willing to come up and step up with us and do that. But it's going to have a dramatic impact across our campuses. As Dave indicated, we will be able to fund probably up to 17 endowed professorships with that. And what that does for us is, as part of our Illuminate program, we're really trying to grow the depth and breadth and impact of Baylor from a teaching perspective, from a research perspective, in terms of our Christian mission, and being able to hire and support and retain the best Christian faculty in the world and draw them to Baylor, keep them at Baylor, is critical to our ability to continue to progress as a university. And so having that level of support for up to 17 faculty is dramatic in moving us forward, both from a teaching perspective, a research perspective, and in terms of hiring the right kinds of faculty that care about our Christian mission. And then when you add to that the ability to build a new basketball arena, which will create a wonderful new fan experience and a better recruiting tool, and then it will really actually help us with several other of our women's sports that are unbelievably successful, volleyball and acrobatics and tumbling, that frankly are kind of orphan programs when it comes to having a home, and that's just not the right thing to do with those programs. And so it's going to help us across the campus to really change the face of the academic enterprise in a wonderful way, and then also to continue to support our athletic enterprise at the highest level.
You know, when you talked about volleyball and acrobatics and tumbling, right now they share space in McLean Gym.
Yes.
Along with Health, Human Performance, and Recreation.
So. That's right. I think our volleyball team has practiced in 5 or 6 different gyms, which I think is maybe all we have. I'm not even sure. I didn't even realize we had that many. And so they've been actually very patient and gracious to move wherever they needed to. But, you know, they've made the NCAA tournament for the last 2 or 3 years in a row. They've been second in the conference. We've got to beat Texas, though, so that's the goal, you know. We've got to beat Texas in volleyball. And this will be dramatic for both of those. And our A&T, they've won 5 straight national championships and are so fun to watch. If you haven't seen it, you really should come to campus sometime and watch them. So it will be really important and allow us to support them in the way we should, and frankly then to support our men's and women's teams, who are both unbelievably successful in a facility that's better designed for how we need to do basketball now, both for the fan experience as well as for the student athletes.
Yeah, we'll celebrate our national champion, Baylor
that's
Lady
right.
Bears, in just a few minutes.
A little bit later on.
Yeah, that's right. It's perfectly fine to cheer for them. It was an exciting experience. Again, we'll talk about that in a minute. But Mr. Allison, let's talk a little bit about Illuminate and Give Light from the board perspective. You know, 1 year ago, I think it was just about in May, a year ago, that the board accepted to move ahead with the Illuminate strategic plan. And then on November 1st, as Dave was indicating, the board just said, let's embrace Give Light and the $1.1 billion campaign goal. What are some of the things that both Illuminate and Give Light, some of the things that really stood out for the board for both of those?
Thank you, Lori, and let me also just say thank you all for being here. Thank you, Ella. As many of you know, we lived 6 wonderful years. My wife, Diane, our family lived here for 6 wonderful years. We love Corpus Christi, and so when she said, let's come to Corpus, I said, that's easy. We can do that. Driving back the long shoreline truly deserves a name, the Sparkling City by the Sea. It's great to see young friends and old friends, Charles. It's good to be back back in Corpus, so thank you for having us. And we were, as a board, you know, been through a lot of change and over the last couple of years, and what was really exciting was when Dr. Livingstone came on board and started developing the idea of creating a strategic plan, because we really hadn't really had that focus for a couple of years. And she and her team began really developing it and working with the board, working with her team and staff across the university, starting to develop this, bringing it forward to give updates. It was really exciting to see how that was going to really give us a roadmap to the future for Baylor and really clearly define where Baylor was headed. And it was something that we embraced as a board. Had a lot of questions. Dr. Livingstone and the team did a great job of answering the questions that we thought we would hear from others in the Baylor family, but was very, very much a strategic plan that was, I thought, well developed, well done, at the same time creating her team, building her team. And the board really captured what I think is the essence of that Luminate. And that is that Baylor University is very unique. It's a very special place. And one of the things that we learned as we did our conversation series in 17 was how passionate the Baylor family is for Baylor. We've been through some pain and some embarrassment. It was a tough time for us. But the strategic plan began to really bring us together and unify us to go forward as the Baylor family. So the Luminate, we think, is something that's well done. And watching how we align all the strategies, and that was, you know, the board needed to do basically oversight and foresight and insight for the management. And one of the things that Dr. Livingstone talked about was understanding the role of the board versus management. Well, strategic plan is something that the board wants to be able to approve. And so having that come forward and aligning it with the finances of how we were going to pay for this wonderful strategic plan. That's one of our questions. Hey, this is a great plan. We are very much committed as a board, but how do we fund that plan and make all the areas really, truly viable financially, as you heard Dr. Livingstone. So then she began developing with Dave Roselli. I just promoted you to Dr. Dave. Dave and his team, the Give Light campaign, which the $1.1 billion that you heard about aligns with the strategic plan. And the board was very enthusiastic, very excited. It gave us, a direction. It gave us something that we could continue to work on and really focus on with an overview of the strategic plan and support Dr. Lewis and some of her team. So the board is very enthusiastic. When we did the Give Life kickoff in November, we had a couple of our good board meetings that made significant gifts to start that for the Welcome Center. It's something that I think is going to really continue to do what Dr. Livingstone and I talked about going forward. And we both began our respective responsibilities in the same month. It would really begin to unify and bring together the Baylor family around a very, very well thought out, well planned strategic plan.
And the Welcome Center that you mentioned, the Mark and Paula Hurd Visitor Center, will be right there at the corner of University Parks Drive and the interstate. So it'll be a nice front door to the campus. So we look forward to the day that we have the Welcome Center on campus. But you mentioned about being the chairman of the board for the past 2 years alongside Dr. Livingstone as president for those 2 years. But you've also said that the very idea of a Christian university is what drives all decision making at the university. Can you share your perspective on that?
When Dr. Livingstone came on board and I started as chair, I promise you I didn't retire from Baylor Scott & White to become chair of the board of Baylor. That was not what I had intended, but I felt I was honored and humbled to be asked to serve, and particularly with Dr. Livingstone coming on board. I felt very good about where we were going to be moving. And one of the things we talked about in the board, and we made significant changes, many of you probably heard about all the governance changes we made. We had a committee, three regents, three non-regents, that helped us create a new governance structure, and we began implementing that. And one of the things we talked about was the role of the board and the role of management, because there had been the perception, quite honestly, that the board was way too much involved in day-to-day. And one of the things we wanted to do was to really restore trust in the board, and we wanted to develop a process of how we would make decisions going forward based on management's recommendations. And as we talked about our role, one of the things that we agreed on as a Board of Regents was what we call our four non-negotiables would be the process. We wanted to have a lot of dialogue. We wanted to have very open dialogue, very very candid and very open, but also we wanted to have a fact of how would we make those final decisions. And so these four non-negotiables that we used was, number one, if we make this decision, will it keep Baylor a Christ-centered university? First and foremost, will it keep Baylor Christ-centered? The number two item that we had asked ourselves is, will this further the mission of Baylor University? If we make this decision, is this going to align and further our mission? Number three, will it reflect the core values and principles that guide Baylor and has guided Baylor for many years? And then finally, we'd ask ourselves, is this the right thing to do for the right reason? And if we could say yes, 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 we felt that we would be making good decisions. And that's how we began to implement our governance restructuring. It's how Dr. Livingstone and I worked together. And let me just tell you, it has been a pleasure and a joy for me to work with Dr. Livingstone. That's my perspective. Now, she may give you a different story, but she, as they say, the right person at the right time. We were blessed that God called Linda to Baylor as our president. She came at the time that we needed her presence the most, and it has been a joy for me to work with her and watch her really lead Baylor and take charge of building her team, setting the strategic plan, and working with the board in a very positive manner to go forward.
Well, Dr. Livingstone, let's talk about Illuminate and the strategic plan moving forward. It operates under four pillars, and let's talk about the first one, which is an unambiguously Christian educational environment. Dave was talking about the $15 million gift to the Tidwell Bible Building, and I'm sure everybody who's an alumnus and alumna here in this room, have you taken a class in Tidwell?
Raise your hand.
Yes. If you're a parent, your student has taken a class in Tidwell.
And it looks exactly the same now as it did when every one of you took a class.
That is true.
That was a long time ago.
But it is one of the projects that was identified, one of the priority capital projects in GiveLight, the restoration of the Tidwell Bible Building. Tell us how that works into Pillar 1 and what this says about, it really does say something about the university's Christian mission.
It does. When we developed the plan, Illuminate, there were some academic elements to it that we built out, but we said we've got to have some core principles that guide everything we do in that. And the first and foremost is that we have to really ensure that we continue to strengthen the integrity of our Christian mission. And so then we think about everything that we do and how does it support that, even as it does other things for the institution. And so when we were deciding on what facility projects were going to go into the campaign, you kind of think about, well, what can we actually raise money for, but what do we really need on our campus and what from a facilities perspective? And so we actually debated a lot how to manage Tidwell, and that it's one of the facilities on our campus that has needed to be remodeled for decades, frankly, and has not been. But yet we were really like, I don't know if we can actually raise money to remodel a building that's that old. But yet it's the Bible Building. So, at its core, just the name of the building draws us back deeply to our roots. The building itself has beautiful stained glass in it. It's got, New and Old Testament reliefs on the outside of the building. It houses our religion department, of all things, on our campus. And so in many ways, the symbolism of that building draws us and ties us very directly to our mission and then to that number one pillar underlying the strategic plan. And so I really have to tell you, we thought, and Dave would affirm this, we actually thought we would be would be the last of the facilities projects we'd probably raise money for. And in fact, we might actually be able to raise the money. We'd probably have to figure out some way to pay for it out of our operating budget. And so we were just so blessed when the Sunderland Foundation, based in Kansas City, came alongside us. They have had three daughters go to Baylor, and so they love our Christian mission. Their daughters love their experience. One of them still lives in Waco. The company out of which they made their money was a cement company, so they care about facilities, and they care about restoring, classic old facilities. So it was just kind of this perfect match of their mission and what they loved with our mission and what we loved. And so frankly, it's going to be the very first facility of all of them in the plan that we actually launch. We'll be moving faculty out of Tidwell next fall and then begin that remodel. So I think by about spring of 2021, we'll be moving them back in. And so it's very symbolic of that core mission and of that first pillar. And we just are so blessed that the Sunderlands came alongside us and are going to allow that to be kind of the symbol of Illuminate as we go forward from a facilities perspective.
Yeah, it does. It's a beautiful building on our campus.
It is beautiful.
And I look forward to seeing what happens with Tidwell. But I love the fact that we say restoration because it truly is.
It's really bringing out the beauty of that building. And then within it, making it a truly modern academic facility so that the experience the students have inside of it is of the highest quality in terms of just the technology in the classrooms and the support we're providing faculty and students within the building.
Right. Let's talk about one of your phrases that we heard a lot in your inaugural mm-hmm. address and that we continue to hear it. It's that the world needs a Baylor, mm-hmm. a preeminent Christian mm-hmm. research university. Nobody has done this before. So why is it important then to have a Christian voice at the table, to have a Christian voice in higher education and in research and in discovery?
Yeah. This was something even before we'd sort of built out Illuminate, and it really has been kind of on the table for the university for a number of years, but really hadn't built out how are we going to make this happen. But in my inauguration address, we did use that term, the world needs a Baylor, because we truly believe that there's a great diversity in higher education, but there is really a dearth of universities at the highest level academically in terms of scholarship that compete in athletics at the highest level that are truly influential in higher education. And, you know, I like to talk about how we believe that faith, a lot of people believe that faith's a deterrent to research and to scholarly activity. And we say, no, that's actually what motivates us to do the scholarly work that we do as faculty. And we speak into the fact that all truth is God's truth, that all truth is open to inquiry. And frankly, as a faculty member, what higher calling could you have than to be doing research and teaching that reveals God's truth, that shares that truth with others, and actually helps us think about how God's truth can help us solve some of the really difficult problems in the world. And frankly, in many ways, that means we have a higher calling as a Christian university to do research in a way that really matters in the world. And there are really certainly no Protestant universities that are positioned to do that. You could argue Notre Dame is doing that. But even among Catholic universities, and Baylor is really the only university positioned to be able to do those things, to do research at the highest level, to continue to educate undergraduate and graduate students in transformational ways, to compete in athletics and the arts at the highest level, and to continue to really stay true to our Christian mission. And so we really feel a calling to do that, that there needs to be that kind of university that has a voice in academics, has a voice in policy, that is influencing what's going on in whether it's healthcare or business or in so many different areas. And that we really have a responsibility to do that given the way we've been blessed as an institution with resources and with opportunity. And so that's what we're working on to make that a reality in the years ahead.
We'll talk a little bit more about the campus mm-hmm. in your past 2 years here in just a minute. But Joel, you are coming up on completing your second term as chairman of the board. You'll be rotating off after this, at the end of this month. So you have your last board meeting that's coming up. As you look back over the last 2 years, what has been maybe your most significant achievement? And then what do you see ahead for the future of Baylor?
But my significant achievement, it was a team. It was the board. We went through a lot of change. Some of the things that occurred over the last 2 years, very busy. We completely implemented the 105 recommendations from the Pepper Hamilton report, and Dr. Livingstone led us through that. We went through several accreditation reviews, got through the Big 12 review, SAC COC review, and again, totally restructured the Title IX program during those 2 years. The other thing that I think was significant was the governance restructuring. We implemented over 50 changes to our bylaws and the governance restructuring to make it a more effective, high-performing board working with management in a very positive way. And I think just watching the development of the strategic plan, the Give Light campaign, really was a true team effort. And that's what I love about working with Dr. Livingstone, her team, working with the board, is that we are really pulling together now to move past some of the issues we have. We still got a couple of tough things to work through, obviously, as everybody knows. But to your point about the future, and not to just say it the right, the future is very bright, very, very bright for Baylor. A lot of good things have happened. And we just needed that kind of opportunity. And watching the team work with these opportunities, implementing these changes, and being very positive about moving forward. And then you've heard all the great things that have occurred over the last 2 years. And it truly is remarkable to see where we were 3 years ago this month in 16 and where we are today. And I give a lot of credit to the Baylor family. I give a lot of credit to Dr. Livingstone and her team and to the Board of Regents that really began to move in the right direction.
Dr. Livingstone, let's move back onto campus now. You've been president for almost 2 years. June 1st will be anniversary date. You know, you often describe Baylor as strong and resilient. And what can you say about those particular characteristics?
I think that's one of the reasons that Baylor's been so successful in kind of working through some of the challenges, because it is an unbelievably strong and resilient institution. Part of that is because the Baylor family loves the institution so much. But I have to say, on some of the more concrete things that you think about that make an institution strong, you know, our enrollment has remained strong over many years, but even in the last few years, we have great demand for our educational experience. Our last several classes, including the one coming up this fall, are the most academically qualified classes we've ever had. They're the most diverse classes we've ever had. They're the most geographically diverse. And the students are just, we have a lot of interest in people coming to Baylor. They know it's a special place. They know it's a unique place. And so that is a wonderful sign, especially after you've gone through a difficult stretch. Financially, we have a very strong balance sheet. We just got our bond rating reaffirmed at A+ by several rating agencies, so financially we're very strong. Of course, the success of the fundraising campaign will be right around $200 million in fundraising this year, which will be our highest amount ever. The highest amount before that was about $165 million in the year that we raised money for the McLean Stadium and the Foster Campus for Business and Innovation. So there's a lot of energy and enthusiasm around just the financial strength, the interest in the institution, and then the other thing I would say is we've had great success recruiting faculty. You know, if you talk to the folks in our provost office and they go back and talk about the searches for faculty positions over the last 3 to 5 years, in almost every single case, our first choice of faculty that we've gone out and recruited have chosen to accept our offer and come. And so I think that's also a great testament to the institution and what we're trying to do and what a unique place we are, that people, whether it's faculty, staff, or students, recognize that and want to be a part of what we're doing.
Yeah, one thing that's been super exciting at Baylor has been just recently, not only acrobatics and tumbling winning a national championship, but Kim Mulkey and our women's basketball team, the Lady Bears, winning the national championship. That was incredibly exciting. I know you feel the same way, so let's congratulate our Baylor Lady Bears. Always fun to watch that team. You know, make it to Tampa, right, for one thing, to make it to a Final Four. And then once they won that Final Four game, they said, hey, we made it to the championship, might as well just win the whole thing.
That's right.
So fun to watch them win that national championship, to bring that trophy and the team coming back to Baylor University. It was certainly an exciting time. We have not stopped celebrating yet, and we shouldn't stop celebrating. And in fact, if you'll take a look at the video screen, we'll continue the celebration here. We wanted to take a moment and celebrate all together and give you an inside look at how Coach Kim Mulkey and her Lady Bears put all the pieces together of this puzzle for the national championship.
Professor came up with this.
I think my favorite part is seeing Kalani Brown embrace Lauren Cox after that game was over. It was a special moment. I know y'all enjoy being in Tampa for the championship, for the Final Four, and then the championship game. And I've seen you both courtside. In fact, I think you sit right in front of me, courtside at the Farrell Center the games this past season, and I know you're ready for courtside seats for the new Baylor basketball pavilion.
Those may be hard to get.
That's true, but Mr. Allison, athletics really does play an important role at a university.
No question, Laurie, and I've heard people say that athletics is kind of the front porch of the university, and it's what people see a lot in the news. Obviously, it's going to always be high profile. I think what we see at Baylor, and no question athletics is important, it doesn't, though, overshadow the academic part. I think that's one of the great things about a place like Baylor. And as Dr. Livingston said, just like in academics and athletics, Baylor, the world needs a Baylor. And think about us, as she pointed out. We're the only private, what I call unapologetically Christian university. It's in a Power Five. And that's special, and we have a tremendous opportunity, and we see it through our coaches. And one of the things about our athletic department, it is outstanding as a Christian athletic department. I want to tell you, we were blessed. I mentioned Dr. Livingston being called to Baylor at the right time. And first gent back here, Brad, and I were having this conversation today. Mac Rhodes, our athletic director, is the best athletic director in the country. And he felt called to come to Baylor. And he very openly says that. Matt Rhule, the head coach of the football team, he said he was called to come to Baylor. You don't see that very often. And we are blessed, every one of our head coaches. I will tell you today, we have the best group of head coaches across the country. I would trade not one of our head coaches. Every sport is led by a phenomenal head coach that is building Christian young men and women as well. If you've been to any of our basketball games, Scott Drew, the team, we have a prayer before the tip-off. At the end of the game, he and his team stand out in the middle of the court. They invite the other team to join them if they wish in prayer. That happens all across our athletic programs. And just as you heard, not only are these wonderful men and women that lead these young men and women, but Mac Rhodes put in a program called Building Champions for Life. And every one of those head coaches puts as much emphasis on academics and their players being in the room and successful off the field as well as on the field. And if you've been around any of these young men and women, they are absolutely outstanding. They recruited some of the finest young men and women. And why is athletics important? It does bring students to the university. You will find many students, they want to go where there's a Power Five school. They want to be in big time athletics. You look at how successful a small private school like Baylor, Dr. Livingstone just mentioned, national championship in acrobatics and tumbling, national championship in women's basketball. Scott Drew had a great season in men's basketball. Steve Rodriguez, Charles, this weekend, literally, coming up, we will be playing OSU to win the conference championship in baseball. Volleyball, you heard, was in the NCAA finals. Our football team went from 1-11 to one of the biggest turnarounds ever to 7-6 with a bowl win in the Texas Bowl. The Lady Bears.
And we need to win a tennis national and championship
the tennis
next weekend.
They are now in the quarterfinals.
Yep.
They just won regional, and they're in quarterfinals in Florida. So, again, soccer was in the NCAA finals last year. I mean, it's just amazing. And it also, what I like about athletics, and of course, my wife, when she decided she was going to move to Waco out of Dallas, that was heaven for me, because we got season tickets for everything, because I can now go. I can go to. She told me, she told somebody the other day, she said, if Baylor had a Tiddlywinks team, we'd have season tickets. And, but in all seriousness, it brings students together. It brings the Baylor family together. And there's a lot of excitement around that. It should never overshadow the academic side, that's for sure. But it does bring resources. It'll be important in this coming years for the Illuminate to become reality in many ways. But the other thing I would say is so many coaches out there, there's a lot of great. When you have to go find a head coach, Mac Rhodes has done a masterful job in the head coaches that he has recruited. Because when you think about what's required for you to coach at Baylor, and you go out there and look, it's a very narrow pool. And he has been very successful at bringing men and women to Baylor who have that commitment of being at a Christian university and leading the young men and women. So I just think it's very important. Somebody told me the other day, you talk to so many students and they will choose to go to the school based on the colors of the school colors or what the uniforms look like. And it's, as you know, we just went through a whole rebranding for the whole university with the new Nike logo. So again, I think it's also, the other thing about athletics, and I'm truly was blessed and a beneficiary, it allows young men and women who maybe wouldn't have a chance to go to Baylor University in a great place like that because of finances, it gives them a chance to get a great education. And that's what these coaches focus on. They want them to graduate. You go around Kim Mielke's, these young girls, ladies, I mean, they are all motivated to continue to be well-educated, get out of school, get their degree, and move on. Now, we got a couple that have already gone to the WNBA, but they said they'd come back and get that degree.
Yeah. That's right. I saw Kalani Brown post that she would be going through graduation in the next week, even after she had joined the Los Angeles Sparks of the WNBA, so you're right, that is very much a priority. You can't miss the first family when they're at athletic events either, and Dr. Livingstone, it's great to have first gentleman Brad Livingstone here with us. Shelby's not with us tonight, but they have a daughter, Shelby, and also the first pup of BU, it's Boo, which is spelled BU.
That's correct, yes.
Very popular part of the university, but tell us about your family and the importance of them and also the important role that the first gent plays on our campus.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'm blessed with a wonderful family, and they were, you know, just thrilled, and as a family, we really felt called to come back to Baylor when that happened 2 years ago. But, you know, our daughter, Shelby, graduated from Rice in December, so she's a Rice Owl. We're turning her into a Baylor Bear. She's been on campus with us this semester, which has been wonderful, and this, after a stint in South Africa over the summer and an internship, she's going to actually go to Truett Seminary in the fall and do the sport ministry track. So she has been wonderfully involved in athletics at Rice as a volleyball player and their Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and was really thrilled with the opportunity to come to Baylor and go through our seminary in that program. So we're going to be thrilled because she'll be around for a while, and we get her in green and gold all the time. She's very loyal at our events, and although we do play at Rice next year, we play football at Rice, and she's told us she's not wearing green and gold, and she's wearing her Rice blue and gray, and we said, well, that's okay. We want our Baylor alums to be that loyal, so we'll hope that you're that loyal to Rice as well for that one game. One game.
She's not riding with you to the game.
Yeah,
either.
No, she's going to have to hitchhike to Houston. But so that's been fun. But Brad is just a wonderful partner in what we do. He has a passion for our students and for ministering to them. And Lori mentioned our dog, Boo. One of Brad's favorite things is to walk Boo almost every afternoon around campus. And He actually uses it as a time to minister to our students. You can see students on campus looking really sad because they just had a test or something, and they see Brad and the dog, and they just all of a sudden it brightens their life up, and they pet Boo and chat for a while, and so it's been wonderful. He works with our veterans on campus and has done so many wonderful things with students and others around the community and on campus, so it's been fabulous. I don't know if you'd like to add anything to that, Brad, since you're here, you know.
Well, I do have another job. I'm a high school teacher, so after I'm done teaching is when I come home and walk the dog. And Boo, actually our daughter started an Instagram account for our dog Boo called the First Puppa VU.
Yep.
It's pretty hilarious how famous our dog is.
I just wanted to say, again, as chair working with Dr. Livingstone, Dr. Livingstone is one of the most engaging leaders I've ever met. The students love her. She can't walk across campus. First year, we'd walk across campus, and the students would come rushing. They'd cast me aside and start talking to Dr. Livingstone. But she's so engaging. Appears, I don't know how she does it. She's at every event that I can imagine. But Brad's there to support her, and it has been wonderful to watch them as a team, really engaging with our Baylor family, students, faculty, the donors, alumni. And so, again, I just want to say it is a truly supportive family, which is great for Baylor.
Dr. Livingstone, any final or concluding words before we get to our Q&A?
Well, one, I want to thank Joel. He has been a fabulous chair of the board. I couldn't have been more blessed to have started my time in this role with Joel as kind of a partner in that with the board. So thank you for that. And he'll be on the board for one more year, so we'll have the benefit of his wisdom for another year. But it really has been a privilege to work with him. And, you know, Joel mentioned this earlier, but it really is an exciting time to be at Baylor. There's just so much going on our campus. Our students are doing really interesting and exciting things. The strategic plan is moving forward well. The fundraising campaign Give Light is going forward really well. So there's just a tremendous amount of opportunity. And, you know, every university has issues and challenges that you have to continue to work on. But I couldn't be happier to be where we are and really excited about what's ahead and all the good that's going to be happening at Baylor in the years ahead. And appreciate you all being here and kind of being a part of what we're doing.
All right, let's thank both of our guests tonight. Thank you so much, appreciate it.
Thank you.
And now on to our Q&A, and John is in the back with a handheld microphone. So if you do have a question, if you'll just raise your hand, John will bring you the mic. And if you would be so kind as to tell us your name and your affiliation to Baylor, alumnus or a parent, we would love to know more about that. So, and we will do our best to answer your questions, sir.
My name's Mike McCrocklin. I graduated class of '67, shortly before some of you were born. But my question is this: one of the things that I am able to do for Baylor in my seniority here is to pray for Baylor. And I know that every challenge that Baylor has is an opportunity for a victory for Baylor and a victory for God. Mm-hmm. So I just would like to ask you, are there any particular things that you feel free to share tonight? I know some things have to stay private, but that you feel free to share tonight that you would like the people who love Baylor to ask God for?
I really appreciate that. That means a lot. And one of the things I would have to say before I answer your question, one of the things Brad and I have noticed is everywhere we go, people tell us they're praying for us. They told us they were praying for us before they knew it was us, and that they continue to pray for us, parents around the country. So we appreciate that and cherish those prayers and want those prayers to continue. You know, several things I would say. One, certainly pray for me and my leadership team for wisdom and insight. I mean, it's complicated running a university today, and particularly a Christian university, because of some of the pressures that are out there. And so we really need wisdom and insight to do that, to do it well, and to do it in a way that it maintains the integrity of our mission. So I certainly ask for prayers for our leadership team. I have a new provost, Nancy Brickhouse. We didn't actually talk about Nancy, but she just started May 1st. So pray for her, too. We've had horrible turnover of provosts. I mean, we've had, I don't even know how many, 6, 7, 8, if you lose count at some point over the last, like, 4 or 5 years. And so we need her to be successful. We need to be her to be stable and at the university for a long time. Because you need that stability in your academic leadership. So pray for Nancy, for her success, for favor with the faculty for Nancy. That's important. And then pray for our students. You know, we know now that students generally, but certainly on our campus, the mental health issues for students, the pressure students face are, you know, probably as great as they've ever been. We keep adding mental health support and addiction recovery support on our campus, and every time we add some, the capacity gets sucked up. So pray for our students that, you know, that they find the support they need, certainly through us, through their churches, through family and friends, but that we're also meeting their needs in the way that we need to, where they are, to help ensure that they have a healthy and safe and a positive experience on our campus so that they can successfully complete their degree and go out and be successful. So those are a few things that I would certainly say with regard to needs for prayer on our campus. And I don't know if you want to add anything.
No, I do, and thank you so much, Mike. And I started in 66, so you were just a little ahead of me. So, but I would ask in all sincerity, pray for the Board of Regents. We meet next week, as Dr. Livingstone said, as we start on Wednesday with our committee meetings and Thursday with the rest of the committees and then the full board on Friday. And pray that we will have guidance, to give us wisdom to make decisions that truly will keep Baylor a Christ-centered university. And so we need to pray. We've been through a lot of change, a lot of challenges, as you mentioned. But I would covet your prayers for our board meeting this month. Thank you.
Other questions? Sir, here. Thank you, John.
I'm Chris Winkler. I graduated in 2013. Uh-huh. Kind of two things here. The first being is with the new Giving Light program and the money plan and raising, is there any plans for expanded academic programs, you know, places that we might be missing things like architecture, construction science, you know, programs that other universities throughout the state have that we don't, that we're maybe not capturing students? And then secondly, how does, like, with these development plans, you know, in our footprint in the city of Waco, how do we kind of plan on, you know, expanding university? Are we, you know, looking more towards downtown, north of the river, sure. Just kind of that type of stuff? Yeah.
In terms of academic programs, we didn't talk about this with Illuminate, but we have 5 kind of academic focus areas in Illuminate. Health, which is a big one, probably the biggest of all of them, just in terms of breadth and depth. Material science, data sciences, which really cuts across almost any discipline on our campus. Leadership. Human flourishing and ethics, and then Baylor and Latin America. And so as we think about kind of building out academic programs in the years ahead, in many ways they will probably be tied to one of those 5 areas. We have not specifically talked about things like you're talking about, architecture and construction management. But I do think we'll be building out some things in the engineering space and in that area. But what we really look to is we look at what the market is doing, what the opportunities are, and then how they tie to those kind of 5 areas, because we're the size of a university that can't be all things to all people, so we've got to kind of focus our resources. And as we work through the strategic plan last year, those were the 5 areas. I think we'll also see growth in graduate programs across those 5 areas. We've already seen some of that. Part of our strategic plan is to hold undergraduate enrollment steady, and then any growth in enrollment will be at the graduate level, graduate professional programs, as well as some of those that tie to the research areas. We historically have not thought of graduate programs as a way to financially help fund what you do at the university, and there are some graduate programs that can help us do that, particularly professional types of graduate programs. So that's also part of the financial model that we're working at. So there will be growth in some types of degree programs, probably tied to those 5 academic theme areas. In terms of kind of the campus footprint and everything, we actually own a lot of land in Waco that we probably will never build on or use. But in terms of kind of growth of the campus, one of the things we're looking at right now, we're doing some facilities planning on our campus. We haven't sort of had a very sophisticated way of looking at how we're using our facilities. And so one piece of it is where we put support services. So like Clifton Robinson Tower, which is kind of across the freeway, has a lot of support services in it. We have some other buildings in the middle of our campus that have support services in them that frankly shouldn't be in the middle of our campus. We should have academic programs. So we are in the process of probably taking some of those and moving them downtown. The social work school is downtown, and that building, we have space in that. So we'll be taking some support functions that are administrative, moving them off the main campus to downtown, and then we'll repurpose some of that space for academic programs. Growth across the river, because we've talked, there was at one point talk about if we built a new gymnasium that it would be across the river, but we've concluded it's better to keep it on the main campus side of the river. And right now the Welcome Center will be kind of right there just off of Interstate 35. We don't have any other new buildings in the plans currently. We'll do some science work, but in current space that we have. So the longer run will be certainly some rework within the footprint we have. Where we have space to expand is really, we own quite a bit of land across LaSalle down along the river there. Right now most of that is athletic space, space for intramurals, that sort of thing. But probably in the next 5 years or so, most of it will be repurposing space on our current campus, reallocating some space to move operation stuff off. The other area I would say where there's actually growth opportunity is the BRIC, the Baylor Research and Innovation Collaborative. We own another piece of property there as well. So especially from a research perspective, that area around the BRIC will be an area for ongoing development and growth as well.
Could I just add on to that?
Yes, you may.
So the Welcome Center, which will be at the intersection of University Parks and I-35, is one of the buildings that will be in a cluster that will occupy that entire 9-acre parcel. And so it's hard to envision right now, but we think that that parcel will be the hub of campus, the center of campus in a lot of ways, where all of the energy and the activity will be drawn to. If you're a prospective parent or a student or an alum, you're going to want to go through that Welcome Center, which will also be house a new alumni center. So that is really going to be center of energy, we believe, within the next several years. Hard to imagine, but that is on the horizon, not just the Welcome Center, but the development of that entire parcel.
And that development will be not necessarily academic space, but more some restaurants and other types of things. So it'll be kind of multi-use space that will actually be helpful to our students, because you have to kind of go across I-35 to get to places to eat and other things. So that's going to be a really nice development that we'll probably partner with somebody on to make that a reality after we get the Welcome Center built, or as we're building the Welcome Center.
We've got time for one or two more questions.
Andre Ortiz, class of 2017, and my question is regarding the endowment. I think I briefly mentioned that, didn't really expand on it much, though. I just checked my phone a few minutes ago. I think in 2017, our endowment sat at $1.3 billion or so.
That's about right, yeah.
And I know Baylor obviously is a unique campus, but you can't help but compare to some of our competing private schools, such as Rice, and there's this sitting
there's
at
$6 billion,
$6.3
billion. My daughter reminds me of that regularly. Yes.
And I'm sure she does.
When we talk about football, she talks about their endowment.
The endowment, right. Got to rub it in there, I guess. Baylor is, from what I understand, a university that pays for tuition is basically what pays for the professors' salaries, which kind of ties into, affordable tuition. Mm-hmm. I was a Baylor ambassador, so.
You know a lot about this.
Yeah. Affordable tuition is kind of my wheelhouse and something I hold dear to my heart. Going back to Rice, for example, I think up to 200 families making less than 200,000, they have just about, I think if you make up to 200,000, you can get about half of your tuition paid for with Rice. So, Baylor's trying to, recruit a lot of diversity in, and I think, people in different brackets of income, that's needs to be something that's included
Absolutely.
With diversity. So I was just wondering if this campaign that we have going forward, if it's, that endowment, is it going to be touching that, and how significantly is it going to be touching it?
Great question, and absolutely. So one of our major priorities from a fundraising perspective is to grow our endowment. It's at about $1.3 billion. It needs to be over $2 billion for sure for the size we are. Per student, Rice has the largest in the state. I mean, they only have about 3,500 undergrads, about 6,500 total students have a $6 billion endowment. Now, theirs is one of the largest per student endowments in the country, other than like a Harvard and some of those. So they are exceptional in that regard. Ours is actually lower than even TCU and SMU. Our endowments are similar in size, but they have a smaller student body than we do, so they have more per student to spend out of their endowment. So in our campaign, about a third of the money we raise for the campaign, we hope, goes to endowment, about a third to facilities, and about a third to current use. And we've actually been very successful historically of raising money. People at Baylor seem to understand the value of endowment. It's, some places it's actually hard to convince people to give to endowment, but we've had a lot of good success at that. It's one of the reasons that this $100 million gift is so important to us, because a portion of that is going to be exclusively for endowing professorships. And so if we endow 17 or so professorships at $3 to $6 million, that's a lot of money going directly into our endowment. We're talking to other donors about potential endowed scholarship matching programs like that. So it is a big part of our plan is to grow that endowment. The other thing that matters a lot with endowment is how you manage your endowment. And we actually have a really strong team on our campus that does that. We have a kind of a subcommittee of our board that has some board members and then some non-board members that actually works with our staff to manage the endowment. And so we've had really good returns on our endowment. And you know, part of that's just driven by the economy doing well, but it's also the choices that they make. So it's a high priority for us. We know that to grow that endowment is critical to keeping our costs down and then being able to help support students. A high percentage of the scholarship dollars that we use on our campus is flipping tuition. And so what you want to do is use less of your tuition for scholarships, use more endowment for scholarships, use more endowment to pay faculty, and less tuition to pay faculty. And that's a big part of what we're trying to do with the campaign. And that's going to be even beyond this campaign into the next campaign, but it's a high priority for us.
All right. Do we have any other questions here this evening? Ms. Pritchard.
Not a question, but thank you for coming. But I want to say, in the history of universities, we don't read much about the contributions of a board chair. And there are a few people in this room that knew Joel and Diane when they were here in the 90s, I guess, Joel? And when he was head of Driscoll, and then he went on to Baylor Healthcare. And I think it's absolutely providential that Joel assumed the chairmanship of the board when Linda came. And because he's a man who understands the difference between the role of the CEO and the role of the board. And that had gotten, I was on the board from 92 to 2001. And so the changes that he described in board governance may not get written in a history book, but they are absolutely critical to the future of Baylor University. And we are so blessed to have you two come in as new leadership to make the changes that have been made. I'd only ask that you promise that your successor will stay on the same track, Joel. But we also owe Diane a huge thank you.
Absolutely.
Because if this was not Joel's plan to retire from Baylor Healthcare and become chairman of the board, it was definitely not Diane's plan either. And so it was a sacrifice on Diane's part to have Joel move from one job to another job, a huge job, so quickly. But it's been a huge blessing, and we are... And so thank you for bringing her down, Joel. Thank you for coming before you retire. And please come back again soon.
Very well. Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you.
You're very kind. Thank you. And I want to say thanks to Ellen and all of you, because, again, my family was blessed to be in Corpus 6 years, as Ella mentioned. I had the pleasure of working with folks like Dr. De Leon and others at Driscoll Children's Hospital, finest children's hospital in the world, and you all are blessed to have it here. And the board's in a good place, Ella. I really feel good. We've had about almost 40% turnover.
Probably 50
in the board.
And
been very pleased with the members that have come on and truly understanding it. And I will assure you, when they name my successor, this month, next week, you will be pleased. And I have full confidence that this board's going to continue moving forward. And again, there's such a strong support for Dr. Livingstone, which is absolutely critical. And that is what's made it her capabilities, her humility, her leadership, and her knowing how to run things, as I would say, has been a tremendous movement forward for the university. So, yes, illuminate, give light. The future is very, very bright at Baylor. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for that final word. Thank you all for being here today. It's a lovely opportunity to talk with our president and our outgoing board chair and to talk about just the progress and the love that we all have for Baylor University. Again, thank you all so much for being here. We hope you have a blessed evening and safe travels home. Thank you.
Thank you.